Good morning. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Ms. Deborah McGee, who's Fair Housing Manager with the Baltimore Field Office of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. And Deborah's here this morning to talk to us about fair housing, housing discrimination, about reasonable accommodations.
Right.
So, Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
Thank you. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, and I guess there are some, could you please tell us a little bit about HUD?
Sure. When we say HUD, we're talking about the federal government's Department of Housing and Urban Development. And that's the department that's tasked with trying to make sure that we have livable cities and affordable housing, and we give money out to support the states and cities' housing programs. Now, the part of HUD that I work for, though, is I think the most interesting and dramatic part of HUD. We fight to enforce the laws against discrimination in housing. And So it's called Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity. And we actually do investigations of housing discrimination. And we also fund some testing programs and some research that is around the idea of housing discrimination. And we work with states and cities to make sure that they're not discriminating in any of their programs.
Yeah, that's great. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
It is, yeah. And always changing.
Yeah. How? What's your background and your experience with HUD?
Right. Well, I have been with HUD quite a while. I started out as a writer in my early days, and then I went into the Peace Corps. I was in West Africa as an English teacher. Mm. When I got out of the Peace Corps, I wanted to continue doing something to kind of make the world a better place, and it turns out that you can get a little opportunity to work for the federal government coming out of Peace Corps. So I was hired to do investigations into employment discrimination. That was real interesting, but I have to tell you, later on when I changed to HUD and started looking at housing discrimination, it is by far the most important. I think it's the most important part of the anti-discrimination laws. It's just absolutely critical. Home is where everything begins, and we've got to make sure that people have full access to all the housing opportunities that they might choose and that they can afford.
Yeah, and that's, as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, housing is the last one he tackled, but the toughest.
Really?
Yeah,
yes.
The toughest, because it does get to, it does, as you've said, deal with the basics that everything is dependent upon, where your kids go to school, you know, how long of a commute it is. I mean, what, you know, what you think, what your neighbors think, what your spouse thinks of what they're doing. I mean, it is the basis of everything.
It's home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really, even our identity is really bound up in where we live, I think.
That it is. And I know that, and I've been working with you for a number of years, as folks know. And it is a partnership, too, because HUD is in partnership with the localities, with Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County.
That's right.
And at the same time, it monitors to make sure that they're using the money right and that they're doing what Congress intended for them to do with the money, which is to do something about housing discrimination.
That is absolutely true. Our Assistant Secretary, Secretary Trasvina, has tasked us with the job of really getting serious about the requirement that states and localities affirmatively further fair housing, mm-hmm. Which is to say that they go beyond the just not discriminating, but they actually take a comprehensive analytical view of the housing situation within the municipality that they're working in. And they ask themselves, is there anything that we see here that is preventing people from having housing choice? And if so, what can we do to address those issues? And they have to do this analysis based on race. They can't just look at whether there's affordable housing or not. They have to look at where racial groups are concentrated, as we say. So we're talking about where there are neighborhoods that are 99% African American, or neighborhoods that are 99% white or Caucasian. So that we've decided, I guess, as a country, as a society, that that isn't a healthy way for our society to develop, and we're working towards making sure that there's more opportunity to address those boundaries and open those neighborhoods up so that we can come together and live together as one country and one nation.
Yeah, and that it's fair. The fundamental aspect that I tell folks is that the segregated neighborhoods didn't just get there because people chose it. Some people do choose to live in certain neighborhoods. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of folks, they land up in a certain neighborhood because that's what they can afford, and that's where they can find something that is acceptable.
Right.
And that violates the fact that somebody's pushed into something violates our American standards of fairness. And one of the various Fair Housing Month slogans that I've really liked the most is housing, it's only fair.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, housing, it's only fair. Let's talk about HUD's major activities in Maryland and the face of housing discrimination nowadays. I know that there is a problem out there with, for example, reasonable accommodation.
Right. Yes, that is really one of the growing areas for us. About 30%, 33% of the cases that are investigated nationwide and in my office as well are involve people with disabilities who are having trouble having housing that is appropriate and where they are treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And so people bring us complaints of discrimination. And many of those complaints that come from people with disabilities have to do with reasonable accommodations. Now, this concept is, it's not the same as saying you have to treat everyone the same. I think that's maybe a little bit simpler.
Yeah.
But the idea with people who have disabilities is this. They may need something in particular that to be done just a little bit differently for them mm-hmm. in their housing in order to allow them to have the same experience of their housing as a person without a disability.
So they can get into their housing, for example.
Exactly. I think the example that most people understand is a person with a visual impairment who uses a dog. You can have an apartment complex that has a no pet policy, and HUD doesn't really have anything to say about that. But if someone has a visual impairment and they're using that dog to compensate for that impairment, you have to let them have the dog. There's no, that's an accommodation.
Yep.
Exactly. So you're treating them differently, but you're treating them differently in order to allow them to have the same use and enjoyment of their housing as the other people who live there.
Yeah, that's only fair. And that's called a reasonable accommodation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have these cases around the area of parking quite often.
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
who have mobility impairments, they might have COPD that makes it very difficult for them to breathe and walk any distance. And so they need to be close to the entrance to their apartment unit or to their condominium. They may need to have a space designated just for them so that they can go to the market and not have their space be taken.
Yeah.
So
in order to just be able to physically get to their apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It seems like a minimal kind of thing.
It does. But people do. Sometimes they have difficulty wrapping their mind around it. They'll say, well, no one else has a parking space that's just for them. Or they'll say, we put the parking lot, the signs that show a person in a wheelchair around the parking lot. So that should be enough. We have some of those spaces. But no, with reasonable accommodations, we have to look at the person who's making the request. What is it that they need, and can we reasonably provide that?
Yeah. And it is, if somebody has questions about this,
right,
how can they get in contact with and find out what is reasonable accommodation? What do they have to do? What is legal? What is illegal?
Right. Okay, there's a couple of really good ways. One thing is the HUD website, www.hud.gov, that's HUD.gov. That is a wonderful website. When you look at fair housing there, they give you all kinds of information. There's frequently asked questions about reasonable accommodations. It's written in plain English. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand it. It's really straightforward. Another way that they can get information is they can call my office. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's 410-962-2500. Or they can call the 800 number. HUD has a toll-free number, and this is 800-669-9777. That's 800-669-9777. Or there's a TTY, 800-927-9275. 800-927-9275.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about the fact that I know that even though the law has been in place for a long time about that new buildings have to be accessible.
Right.
There's still a problem with that some folks are still building apartment complexes, for example, that aren't fully accessible.
That is absolutely true. And it does kind of stun me. Here's really, if your listeners are walking by any new multifamily apartment buildings on a daily basis and noticing certain things about them that would make them inaccessible, we would love to hear about that. All multifamily buildings constructed for first occupancy after March 13, 1991 are supposed to be accessible. Every single one. They don't have to have any federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
It can be condominiums. It can be apartment buildings. It can be luxury condominiums. They're all supposed to be accessible. And what do we mean by accessible, you might ask? That doesn't mean that it's going to be constructed like a nursing home or something. There are only seven basic things that the builder absolutely has to do. I think these are very reasonable. The building has to be an accessible building on an accessible entrance. That means, let's say you want to think about buying that condo. If you're using a wheelchair, you have to be able to get into that building to look at it. You have to be able to get a wheelchair through the front door. And it has to have accessible and usable public use common areas. For example, perhaps the community room, a swimming pool. Those areas have to be accessible to people with mobility impairments. They have to have usable doors. The doors have to have at least 32 inches when you're going through that door. It has to open to a width of 32 inches. It has to be not too heavy, and the handle has to be not too high so that a person who might be seated in a wheelchair would be able to reach that. There has to be an accessible route through any of the units that are on the first floor or accessible by elevators. The light switches and electrical outlets have to be accessible. The bathrooms have to be usable, and they have to have reinforced walls. So these are real basic things. When you look at the building, it might not look different, but if they're putting steps to go into the building just to add interest, they're making that not accessible.
Amen. Amen. Unfortunately, Deborah, we're out of time. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please, for HUD?
Absolutely. Look to the HUD website. There's a place where you can send an email and it will come right to me. The web manager sends it to me. The HUD website is www.hud.gov, or call the 800 number. That's 800-669-9777.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Deborah. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Ms. Deborah McGee, who's Fair Housing Manager of the Baltimore Field Office for the U.S. Department of HUD, for being our guest today. Thank you, Deborah. Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods. And we'll see you next time.